Backseat Box Office, episode number 64 for the weekend of December 9th through the 11th, 2011.
I'm Tony.
I'm Jonathan.
Andrew's not here because he's kind of a jerk face. But I know. But you know what? It's okay because he says he's going to edit. So if he wants to edit out the part where he says that, where I say that he's a jerk face, if he wants to say, leave in the part where I say I'm a jerk face, that's fine because he's editing. I'll even let, you know, I put that in there so that he could leave it in. So you're welcome, Andrew.
If this whole episode is nothing but a remix of like some sort of dubstep tune with,
yeah, we should like purposely
Tony saying I'm a jerk face over and over again, you'll understand. Well, you won't now, understand why.
And see, now you've said it too.
This is true.
Now he can use that. We should say things that could be clipped out and taken out of context specifically so Andrew can spend like 16 hours editing this amazing piece of art that is just this ridiculous remix of what we said in this episode. Because we're fools if we don't think he'll do that otherwise. We are fools. So this is Backseat Box Office, by the way. In case you hadn't guessed, we're going to do another one of those episodes where we do things just a little bit differently, mostly because I was busy / lazy earlier this week and did not record a results show. So we're going to include the results show at the beginning of this show for last week. So welcome to Backseat Box Office, episode number 63's results show / voicemail show. And episode 64, all in one.
So disappointed in you, Tony.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't.
It's all right. I'm disappointing, so.
Learn to live with it, because I have already.
That's fine. That is fair. Fair and accurate. All right, so, yeah, let's go ahead and just jump into this. I need to find the right page so that I can tell you how things did at the box office last weekend. Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1 was again number one at the box office. It lost 60% of its total and still brought in $16.5 million. Number two was The Muppets. It brought in $11 million. So, again, BD tops TM. And
yep,
he still does in the leaderboard. That's still true. We'll get to that.
But not by as much.
Not by as much. And, again, the difference between these two, not as much. It's
the gap
weird.
Is closing.
The gap is closing in both cases. Hugo came in at number three, only lost 33%, gained 563 theaters, made $7.5 million. Arthur Christmas brought in $7.4 million. Happy Feet 2 brought in $5.9 million for fifth place. In sixth place, I almost don't want to say this. Jack and Jill brought in $5.3 million and came in sixth place this week. What is wrong with you people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Twilight brought in $16 million, so apparently a lot. Millions and millions of dollars worth of wrong.
Now, The Descendants brought in almost 4.8 million in less than 600 screens. Its per theater average was $8,000 by far better than anything in the top 15 movies. Because we get down to Shame, which is only in 10 in 10 theaters, and it made $34,000, almost $35,000 per screen. But it was only 10 theaters, so that's not really anything to worry about. That was like the biggest new release of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And it came in 17th. So we're only going to go down to number 7 this time because the rest of them don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you're below top 7, really, you suck. Nah, it's not really the case. The case is more that no one picked anything other than movies that were in the top 7. And I'm one of them because I picked The Descendants.
Yep.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to a voicemail from Scott. And he's going to tell you how he picked, but also how I picked, because Scott and I picked the same things.
This is Scott. And upon reflection of the previous week's smack talk, I do realize that my forefathers did in fact beat up your forefathers. I mean, sure, in most polite company, I'll concede that the War of 1812 was pretty much a draw. But deep down in my heart, I know that two nations went to war, and one of those nations had their capital looted and burned to the ground. And it wasn't Ottawa, just throwing that out there. But I guess I should stop stalling and go with my picks. Okay, I was so tempted to just put whatever was in the top 5 last week. But then I found out that some movies were actually expanding their runs, and I'm like, curses, I must think and do the maths yet again. But
damn dirty maths.
This is I'm also betting this is going to be a very close week. I'm betting that 1 and 2 are less than $2 million apart. Nope. And that 3, 4, and 5 will be within $1 million of each other. Just getting a little side bet action going on here.
This is why you lost the War of 1812.
For some reason. But at number 1, Twilight Saga Breaking Wind Part 1. God, shoot me in the head. At least there's only one more of these stupid freaking movies. I hope. But number 2, The Muppets, which is awesome. You should go see it, especially for 80s robot.
Yes.
At 80s number robots. 3, I'm going to put Hugo, just because it is getting much good buzzliness and is apparently based on a very popular book. I did not know that. At number 5, Arthur Christmas. Why? Because I underestimated the Easter Bunny movie. And I don't plan on doing this again. And in number 5, I'm going to put The Descendants. Because George Clooney. But I think that about covers it. Catch you next week.
All right.
We should have a t-shirt that says, Because George Clooney.
Yeah. if I'm not mistaken, did you not hear Lady Friend Sam sneeze in the background?
I did. I heard something.
I think that was Lady Friend Sam. That was our Lady Friend Sam. Sneezing in the background of Scott's voicemail. If it's not her, we're just going to say that it is. Oh, until she comes on.
I'll ask on Friday when we record the next wave of the game.
Do that. You should do that. Like,
just halfway through the episode. By the way, I heard the voicemail from Scott. Bless you.
He will be so confused. That is going to be so amazing. It's going to be almost as confused as Daryl gets when Holden always tries to sneak down here to see the guys when it's Wednesday. And normally he sneaks down in that time, like when Adam gets here, but before Daryl does. Mm-hmm. And he'll always tell him some really bad joke. Like you know, a third grader joke. But he always gets at him with it because it's, you know, it's so obvious that it's unexpected to an adult. So it always gets at him. So we'll be three quarters of the way through an episode and Adam will go, oh, and by the way, Daryl. like it's some important point about the film, and he'll drop one of these third grader jokes on him. And it just messes with Daryl so bad every time he does it. It's hilarious. So I can't wait to listen to that happen.
You know why six is afraid of seven?
Because 7, 8, 9, bitch. That's like the time that we got Adam with the Batmobile. Aaron came up to him and said, I have a Batmobile. And he's like, oh yeah, really? Where is it? And she walks over to the back wall and points to her mobile. And for the people in the chat room, they'll get to see this. She's got a mobile that's made of bats. So yeah, so that happened. And it just, he was like, oh my God, your daughter just trolled me. That is so awesome. And now he goes around telling the story. Yeah. It's like Aaron came down tonight and Jill was here. And I was like, oh, tell Miss Jill about your Batmobile. And so she told her. And she's like, oh, yeah, Adam already told me about that. Wow. Wow. Getting back to what we're supposed to be doing. Scott and I both picked Breaking Dawn at number one, Muppets at number two, Hugo at number three, Arthur Christmas at number four, and The Descendants at number five. Mm-hmm. Top four were perfect. The fifth one, we picked Descendants. It was in seventh. We picked it in fifth, lost 2 points. We both got a 23 this week. High scores of the week. Booyah. Let's see. Next up, we had both S and Cougaron. S is a newcomer to the Backseat Productions thing. She's been showing up in the chat room lately and hanging out from Backseat Producers all the way through Backseat Box Office, so welcome. And she gave her picks for the first time this past week. Her and Cougaron both picked Breaking Dawn at number one, Muppets at number two, Hugo at number three, The Descendants at number four, and Arthur Christmas at number five. The top three were correct. Descendants, again, came in seventh, not fourth, so lost 3 points there. And Arthur Christmas came in at fourth, not fifth, lost a point. They both got a 21 for the week. Next, we have our second and final voicemail of the week. This one from Tad.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad and Mesa calling in with my picks for this week. I'm out walking the dog again. I'm going through a different part of the desert, so I didn't see any coyotes this morning, but I did see some desert cottontail. But anyway, on to my picks. I'm going to go with Twilight at number one, Muppets at number two, Arthur at number three, Hugo at number four, and The Descendants at number five. Just a few points behind Tony there, so I'm hoping I overtake him this week. And I still think someone ought to investigate BD. There's something going on there. I'm not sure exactly how he's... I don't know if he's got a throwing the bones or looking at chicken guts or what, but somehow he's got some advantage over the rest of us. I'll talk to you next week. Tad out. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Tad. So Tad selected Breaking Dawn at number one, Muppets at number two. Those were both correct. Arthur Christmas at number three. It actually was in fourth. He picked Hugo in fourth. It was actually in third. Descendants in fifth. Again, it was in seventh. It should have been in fifth. It really should have. He got a 21. Mark picked similarly, but not exactly the same. Breaking Dawn at number one, Muppets at number two, Arthur Christmas at number three. And then he picked Happy Feet 2 at number... at number four, and it was actually in fifth, so he lost a point there. Hugo in fifth, it was actually in third, lost 2 points there. Lost 1 point for Arthur Christmas, so a 21. Father Beast Mrs. Beast and Not Mentally. They didn't do the. They didn't go for the trifecta. I love Father Beast's comment. Yeah, Mrs. Beast and I picked the same, and we were hoping for the golden trifecta, but then Mentally went insane. So, yeah, they picked Father Beast, William Paul, and Mrs. Beast all picked Breaking Dawn at number one, Muppets at number two, Happy Feet 2 at number three, Arthur Christmas at number four, and Hugo at number five. Now, Breaking Dawn, Muppets, and Arthur Christmas were all correct, but Happy Feet 2 and Hugo were reversed. Unfortunately, they were 2 points or 2 places from each other, so lost 2 points for each of those picks, and the three of them got a 21 on the week. BD, my friend, BD. Muppets? Oh, I think not. Muppets did not come in first. You lost 2 points for that. Breaking Dawn did not come in second. You lost a point for that. Hugo did come in third. Kudos. Credit where it's due. Happy Feet 2 came in fifth. Credit where it's due. The Descendants, not fourth, seventh. 3 points. BD got a 19 this week. I moved up 4 spots on him. Still in number one. I'm still in number two. But I'm closing in on you. So, next up, Jonathan, you want to go ahead and give your picks?
Oh, goody. Can I please? Come to think of it, I don't even know where my picks are in here. So I'm going to...
You know what? I can tell you what they are.
Let me try to see if I can remember, because they were painful enough, I ought to. I did get Twilight and Muppets in the right place.
Correct.
I sort of got Hugo and Arthur Christmas in the right order.
That's true. You did.
I did flip-flop those and did that. Unfortunately, in between Hugo and Arthur Christmas and Twilight and the Muppets, I decided that I would put the Descendants at number three, and that was painful. So, if I think I've done the math right, and I got a 19.
That is correct.
Oh, look at that.
Look out. It's a change in the wind. You've done math correctly.
I'm about to graduate.
Achievement unlocked.
I'm going to have a degree. It's taken me this long.
till the week before you're done with school.
It's just proof of how much I've learned.
But from school or from the podcast?
Oh.
We may never know.
I credit both. Actually, the whole podcasting thing really did help with a couple of my presentations. That's beside the point. The Descendants did expand.
Yeah.
Had the Descendants expanded like Hugo expanded, I might have been in better shape, but unfortunately it didn't, so.
Yeah, as my grandfather used to say, wish in one hand, shit in the other, and see what you're left holding. So.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. Try it. Andrew, try it, Andrew. Andrew had Muppets at number one and Breaking Dawn at number two. That's kind of a mistake. Then he did the same thing as the Beast Family did, and he put Happy Feet 2 in number three and Hugo in fifth, with Arthur Christmas between them in fourth, which was correct. So, lost 3 points for the Muppets Breaking Dawn flip around, and 4 points for the Happy Feet 2 Hugo flip around. 7 points total. Andrew got an 18 on the week. The Columbia connection sticks together yet again, and Uriah picked the Muppets at number one, Breaking Dawn at number two. Lost a total of 3 points there. Arthur Christmas in third lost a point. Happy Feet 2 in fourth lost a point, and Hugo in fifth lost 2 points. Uriah also gets an 18 on the week. And as previously mentioned, mentally went insane. And I'm sorry. That was bad. But Happy Feet 2 in first. So
you know what? I will give her credit for this. She is a teenage girl who is willing to bet against Twilight.
That, you know what? You're right.
That shows a great degree of
awesomeness.
Yes.
That is a great degree of awesomeness.
Yes.
We should give her points for just for that.
Yeah, that is more stick-to-itiveness of character
than most even
I was willing for, you know, to commit for the Muppets. So I'm impressed there. You go, girl. You ought to be commended for that. So
I want to hear you tell our lady friend Sam, you go, girl. I've never thought I would hear you say that, period. Now I want you to tell that to Sam. On the pot, on Way of the Game.
You would be amazed at what I'm capable of saying.
Oh, I don't think I would be. I've met you. I've drank with you. I've watched you pass out.
And yet you didn't expect you go girl from me.
Come on. I just didn't. Well, because I have met you, I did not expect you go girl. So she did get Muppets right at number two. Again, she had Breaking Dawn at number three. I think we all wished it could have been even lower.
Mm-hmm.
But you, my lady, picked it in the boldest way possible.
Yeah.
Bolder than any of us. And put it in number three. But
that should be a message. I mean, the rest of us are all very cynical and, you know,
and dickish. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, we're picking the movies based on what we think they're going to actually make as opposed to picking with our hearts. And I think that should be a sign to these movie makers that they shouldn't make the second part.
Yeah. Just because, stop.
You know, as if Mentally doesn't care anymore, then neither should
really,
they.
Really? Who would? She picked Hugo at number four and Arthur Christmas at number five. Mentally got a 13 on the week, but in our hearts, she got a 25. Unfortunately, that does not translate onto the leaderboard.
No.
That said, I think I could live in a world where dancing freaking penguins beat out sparkling vampires.
Yes.
I want to live in Mentally's world.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. Those were the everyone's picks for the week. Very briefly, we can give a rundown of the leaderboard once I find my list here. I don't see it.
How about I read off the leaderboard for you?
Go for it. This thing still is not open.
That sets us up with BD is still in first place with 21.85. I don't know. Do we read the averages? I don't listen to anything anymore. So
it's just now opening. I could take care of it.
Tony, you're at number two.
I am.
The 21.62.
Yep.
Oh, I see big news down the board. Thank you, S. I owe you thanks. Tad is at number three. Jeff is at number four. None of that changed at all.
Nope.
S enters the leaderboard with 21 points at number four, tied with Jeff, which bumped just about everybody down.
Yes.
So until I get to William Paul, just know that everybody got bumped down a space. So Scott's at number six from number five. Kugron's at number seven. Tom is at number eight. I am at number nine, which that kind of sucks a little bit.
A little bit.
But yeah. I'm happy because Uriah is at number 10.
Which Why does that make you happy?
Which means that there's a name significant to the rest of the podcast that isn't in the top 10, and that would be Andrew at number 11.
Yep. Yep.
We have Mark at number 12, Father Beast and Mrs. Beast at 13 and 14, respectively. William Paul holds steady at 15 because, unfortunately, mentally went with her heart rather than her head. And for that, mentally, I place you at number one. But unfortunately, the leaderboard places you at 16. So
yes. Yeah, and we did not get picks from Jeff or Tom this week. And unfortunately, Tom ran out of mulligans. Ooh. Yeah, so he pulled in an 18.89 for the week. That's not an average. That's just a weekly score because we do that funky math. So, yeah, new person this week.
Ended strong up pushing, opening from the new person.
Pushing everyone else down. Not me. I'm good. Well, I'm glad for that. And I am now within striking distance of BD. If I have another week, like the, if he and I have similar weeks where we're this distance apart and I'm above him, then I will be number one next week.
I am glad that the Oscar season is long.
Yeah. This is going to get crazy. I think
I
this is going
to
get a lot
of
worse
work
before it's
going
to get better.
Overtake you.
You've done it before, so I'm not.
I know, but I don't. Was the point differential like 2.5? I mean,
it was sizable. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was pretty sizable. Regardless,
it's going to happen still. But
I mean, all it takes is like 2 weeks in a row of you getting a 25 and me getting a 10, and you'll be above me. That's all it takes. 2 weeks.
That's all. That's it. That's all.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
You could have this gift delivered to you on Christmas weekend. Can you imagine such a thing?
The same time my diploma should be showing up?
It would be a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, that is exactly what it would be. Is it called a diploma or is it a degree? Like the actual thing you hang on the wall.
The physical thing? I call it a diploma.
Mm. Anyway.
Questions for people with them.
Yeah. And that really just makes me think about how I'm unemployed and it doesn't actually matter. So
You know what? You know what this says, though? You will have the answer when you have it in your hand. You'll get it and you'll know. You just know.
And now it'll just show up and poof, right in my head.
Yep. That's how it happens. Poof.
Fuck, if that's all it takes to get knowledge, why can't they give that to me first? And then it'll just went poof. Here, you have the piece of paper. Now you have the knowledge.
The reason they couldn't do that, because then they wouldn't also have your money.
True. That's far more disturbingly accurate than I really want to admit right
now. Yeah. Yep.
Especially as far as the English degree is concerned, where I'm like, really, guys? Come on now. But that might just be, I don't know what they're teaching in the high schools these days. So.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so on to the new stuff. BD is convinced, and I think he's picking, that Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is going to blow everything out of the water this week.
That's what I'm saying. Hashtag so don't let me pick anything else in the first place. I'm pretty sure I saw that.
I think I saw that. I think that would guarantee that BD would not be in first place anymore. Considering it's only opening in four theaters. So, yeah. Nobody picked that. Not a good plan at all.
No.
So we do have two new wide release movies this week. One is the sequel to... is it Gary Marshall? Is it Frank Marshall? Damn it.
Are you really asking for facts right now?
I know. Gary Marshall. It's Gary Marshall. To Gary Marshall's movie? I guess we can call it a movie. I don't want to call it a film. film gives it gravitas that it doesn't deserve.
What the hell are you talking about right
now? I don't know. Jill has me thinking, because... So, Jill Gerber, wife of Jeff Gerber, attorney of the podcasts, has recently joined Backseat Producers, like, earlier tonight. And she made a point where she said she thinks there's a difference. She calls some things films and some things movies.
Yeah, it's like calling a book or literature.
Right, right. So she considers film like a piece of art.
We've had this wank fest on the way of the game before.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. What about video games?
Yeah.
Right.
Film versus film and movies. Books and literature.
Yeah, right.
Art and fine art.
Yeah, so whatever. Basically, this is these movies are an excuse to get as many goddamned people in one film as is humanly possible. Mm-hmm. So we've got the actors in this film, and I'm just reading off the list.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
Box office. I'm talking about New Year's Eve.
But you said it's the sequel to something.
Oh, it's the sequel to Valentine's Day.
Oh, fuck. Thank you. Finally.
Shut up.
Gary, Ray, hey, somebody, what?
I'm trying to mess with maybe Andrew's editing.
I don't want to call it a film. It's a movie. Let's get off on a tangent and not actually finish the sentence. Thank you.
I'm pretending that I'm Sam.
No, there was no terrible long-winded analogy there.
True.
Nor was there a background sneeze.
What? Wait a minute. So. What the hell? All right. So the actors. Michelle Pfeiffer, Zac Efron, Robert De Niro, Halle Berry, Cary Elwes, Common? I don't know what that means. Jessica Biel, Seth Meyers, Carla Gugino? I don't know. Till Schweiger? I don't know who that is. Katherine Heigl, John Bon Jovi. Sophia Vergara, Ashton Kutcher, Leah Michelle, Sarah Jessica Parker, Abigail Breslin, Josh Duhamel, Hilary Swank, Ludacris, and Hector Elizondo. Holy shit. That's just the people who are listed in on Box Office Mojo, and they don't include, like, in most movies, they only give, like, the top five.
Mm-hmm.
That's the people that they list in this film. This is
Rotten Tomatoes
ridiculous.
Has the six main ones. I don't know what main is, but they got Halle Berry, Bon Jovi, De Niro, Josh Duhamel, Abigail Breslin,
yeah,
Jessica Biel, and then it says show more, 92.
Holy shit.
Ryan Seacrest plays himself.
Who is Common? What is Common? Is that a person?
It looks like it's a rapper.
Oh.
That might be racist, but...
I'm going to look this up because this is just... I'm confused.
Best known for his individualistic promulgation of jazz rap during the 90s, a decade when gangster rap threatened to take over much of the urban music scene, underground rapper Common attained recognition for the sophisticated lyrics and ever-present political subtext in his raps.
Do they call him raps?
I don't know.
We call him maths, so...
Well, yeah.
If they would have called him raps, okay. I don't know.
Something of a critic's favorite... Common also achieved commercial success with such albums as Can I Borrow a Dollar? Like Water for Chocolate. Which, wasn't that a movie?
I think so.
Yeah, recent. Electric Circus and B.
Okay. Now that we have
his
that
follow-up
mystery.
Album is. I made that part up.
All right. So now that we have that mystery solved, I guess. This movie is, I think, even without, I mean, if I didn't know anything about this movie, and considering the list of the actors I just read, I would say it's probably a series of vignettes.
There was one funny bit in
or as someone who is a co-host of a podcast that I'm aware of would call them, vignettes.
Vignettes.
Anyway, Jesus Christ. You're welcome, Andrew, for the hilarity that we're letting you cut out of the podcast that you'll probably leave in.
Oh.
All right, so the other movie that's coming out
inappropriate
this week is called The Sitter. It features Jonah Hill.
Also inappropriate.
Yeah. It features Jonah Hill, and he's still large in this film. He's since lost some weight. But this movie, are you familiar with the movie Adventures in Babysitting?
Vaguely.
Elizabeth Shue?
Yeah.
You know who Elizabeth Shue is, right? Yeah. Don't make me hurt you.
I'm sure I do. I don't recognize. Did I mention Marty that McFly's- I'm coming to the end of the semester and I have like...
Marty McFly's girlfriend, not in the first Back to the Future movie, but in the second and third Back to the Future movie. Yeah. That's Elizabeth Shue. Anyway... She's a babysitter.
Yeah.
This movie's Adventures in Babysitting. The sitter looks just like Adventures in Babysitting, but with Jonah Hill, so it's going to be raunchier and more swearing.
Mm-hmm.
And more, probably, I mean, they're going to modernize it and make it a little more,
yeah,
give it a little more street cred for the modern audience, basically. But yeah, this movie looks exactly like Adventures in Babysitting.
The humor is crude and unoriginal, with an over-reliance on racial stereotypes and the concept that small children saying anything remotely vulgar is hilarious.
Hey, you know what? That was true when I saw the Bad News Bears for the first time. And that was in the 70s.
I also had Walter Matthau in it. Anything with Walter Matthau in it is automatically awesome. So
I agree. Especially when he swears at children and throws beer cans at them. That is gold. That is comedy gold. So those are the two wide release movies coming out this week. We don't, unfortunately, know how many screens The Sitter is being released on.
Because that worked so well for us last week.
Well, that's true. With our huge analysis of that was completely worthless.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't have a clue. All it says is nationwide. So apparently, it's opening in a lot of theaters.
Or five.
Well, and as long as there's one in New York and one in L.A., that's nationwide.
Yeah, check one in Denver, maybe St. Louis. Dallas. Cover the Midwest a little bit.
No, they would not put one in St. Louis. They'd put one in Dallas and Chicago first.
Yeah, Dallas and Chicago, sorry.
They did the four cardinal points.
Yeah.
New York, Chicago, Dallas, L.A. Maybe, if they're going to add to that, Atlanta. And then start trickling down from there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know what? Let's take a quick break here and add in Tom's Backseat Box Office UK segment. Take it away, Tom.
Hello, this is Tom with Backseat Box Office UK for the weekend of December the 2nd till the 4th. This time I'm calling in from Piccadilly Circus, a little bit noisy as you can hear, coming from Leicester Square just across the way. Piccadilly Circus is kind of the UK's feeble answer to Times Square, you know, the lit up screens, but in the UK we only have about three. which is a bit pants, really. And that kind of ties in quite nicely to the top five, because number one this week was actually Arthur Christmas, which jumped up a place. Gained another 28 screens, it's now 502. Although the week-on-week change, it was down 24%, and it grossed 2,958,899. The reason that ties in with Piccadilly Circus is there's huge amounts of advertising for the film all over it there, and there's even sort of lights all the way along the street, suspended between the buildings with big Arthur Christmas signs. So they're really trying to push that as in the run-up to Christmas. In second place is obviously the new release Happy Feet 2, in 491 screens, 2,630,655. In third place, down two this week, is The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1, which grossed 2,607,718 and was down about 63% on the week. In fourth place, new again, is Hugo, which is 1,912,676 in about 440 screens. And then in fifth place, for the slightly smaller release of about 300 screens, was The Thing, which grossed only 757,487. So not really doing a lot of bank there. Anyway, nothing else really to mention. There were a couple of new films, but they're so far down in like 19th, 20th place, it's not even worth talking about such small releases. So I will see you next time.
All right. Thank you, Tom, or not, depending on whether you sent us something or not. Yeah, I still don't have any clue what I'm going to pick. I think I'm going to go back to the well, the HSX well, and see what they have to tell me. Because I really don't have any idea how things are going to go. I think it's probably fairly safe to say that we're going to lose Happy Feet 2 this week.
I hope so.
We're probably... this is a maybe, but I think we might also lose Arthur Christmas.
Hmm. That's awfully close. Those two are tight.
Hugo and Arthur Christmas?
Yeah.
They are. They did come out at the same time, but Hugo's actually been expanding theaters.
True.
So it's going to be curious to see if they expand a little more. Here's something we can look at. We could look at the dailies.
Yeah, that just shows that Twilight's doing really well.
Yeah, go figure.
Shockingly.
Oh, my. Well, this is telling.
And the Immortals are back in the top five, and that hasn't really been useful at all.
Yeah, that has not helped a bit.
No.
But Hugo's holding pretty strong
in
third, and Arthur Christmas is down around sixth. And Happy Feet 2 is even farther down.
Mm-hmm. I think Happy Feet 2 is a safe bet to fall out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much a lock. This is tough. Cuz I know what I want to see, but I don't think I'm going to see it. And HSX cleared up a little bit for me. I think it is clearing up a few things for me. Okay. I think I've got my picks ready.
Should we be concerned that HSX has The Descendants listed as opening this week?
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. I did not notice that.
This movie is going to be the death of us. You know that, right?
Yeah. This is going to be The Help all over again.
Oh, God damn it.
We're not going to get the goddamned theater counts.
Damn it, Tony.
You know what? Worst case scenario, it pushes everything else down. I'm not going to let it factor into my choices. I'm not playing that game with you, Descendants. You broke my heart last week. Screw you.
I'm surprised HSX doesn't, like, why don't they
explain their point?
Yeah.
Alright, so alright, number one. Yes.
Hey.
What?
If you click on the Descendants on HSX, it says release pattern, limited 11:16, wide 12:9.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
That would have been really useful last week.
You son of a bitch. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. All right, so here's how we're going to play this game, Descendants. How many screens are you going to be on locally on Friday? I'm actually seeing some theaters showing this on multiple screens. Like, one of them right here in town is showing it at, it's, I mean, it's got times of, like, well, it looks like during the day they're showing it on one screen, but they're showing, like, they have, like, a 7:35 and an 8:35 showing, and then a 10:20 and an 11:20.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me multiple screens.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me bend over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm not going to play this game with you, Descendants. I've made my picks. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to play your teasing games. I've had girls treat me this way before, and it's not going to happen. You break up with me today. 3 days from now, you want to get back together because you want some of this? No. No. It's not going to happen. Number one, New Year's Eve. Number two, The Sitter. Number three, Twilight. Number four, Hugo. Number five, The Muppets. It's risky, but I think Hugo has the potential to expand a little more. And if it only loses 30% again, and the Muppets loses 60% again, I think that could happen. And I think it could happen that way. Those are my picks. You're next. Andrew goes last.
Yep. You know what? I'll keep playing the game. My question is just where to put The Sitter. All right, number one, New Year's Eve. Number two, The Descendants.
You took Beatty's bait.
I had decided on that before he baited me.
Okay.
Number three, Twilight. Number four, The Sitter. And number five, The Muppets.
Okay.
I'm never going to catch you. However,
The Descendants could change things up in a big way.
I can't pull a 25 while you pull a 10 if I don't make big changes from what you pick.
That's true. That's true.
Of course, if you don't have the Descendants on your list, that doesn't help me.
No.
So.
No. The spoiler for me could be if the sitter ends up bombing, because yeah. I have it in second. I have a feeling New Year's Eve is probably going to be the big winner this weekend. I don't see that not happening. Unless it just is a big old ball of fail. But with that many different actors in it, and realistically looking at things, unless you look at something like The Muppets being a nostalgia movie as a date movie, there really hasn't been a date movie in a while.
Yeah.
So,
and there were bits of it that looked funny. There's a point where they're in like the maternity ward and one dude is freaking out and like screaming at his wife's crotch.
Yeah.
And the other pregnant couple, the woman turns the other one, "Don't ever yell at my vagina." I promise. That was pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
And I really like it's not deep by any means, even though it's trying to be, but I like a movie like Love Actually, which was a big ensemble cast.
Yeah. I haven't seen
British,
it. Yeah. I haven't seen that one, but
it was good. It's a good Christmas movie. Like, sit down with your wife and watch it. It's pretty good.
Very good. And, so Andrew,
Tony and Jonathan, it is late here and I am exhausted. It's technically now Friday morning, so I'm just going to get through my picks and call it a night. So at number one, I've got New Year's Eve. At number two, I have The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 1. At number three, I have The Sitter, or I guess technically it's just Sitter. At number four, I have Hugo. And finally, at number five, I have The Muppets. Hope both of you have a great weekend, and I will see you later. Bye.
All right. We have been recording for an hour now. We should be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because this... Now, keep in mind, listeners, fair listeners, as you listen to this episode, the file that I am sending along to Andrew at this point is just over 1 hour and 4 minutes long. My bet is... At this point, Andrew's probably going to have us edited down to about 23 minutes. Maybe 26. But, yeah. Otherwise, I am sorry that you've suffered this long. I know there's at least a good 5 or 10 minutes that's going to be cut. If not, Andrew is just torturing you people. Either that, or he's added in some very clever remixes. One of those two things. All right. I got nothing else. BD, since we have committed our picks at this point, they're locked in, recorded. I'm not going to change. Jonathan, I don't think you're going to change. Do you, sir, in the chat room, would you like to give us your picks? His reply, not on a bet. That's fair. That is fair.
Only we're dumb enough to record this on Wednesday still.
Yeah. Well, technically it's Thursday now. Mm-hmm. For me.
Technically you're a dick. But
well. Yeah. I'll accept that. I'll own that.
Still Wednesday for Box Office Mojo. That's all I care
That's true.
It's not Thursday for them until about noon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, BD says he's waiting for the screen counts on this one. I would recommend, fair listener, that you go to Box Office Mojo. On the left-hand side, you'll see theater counts, especially if you're listening to this, not live, because by then they'll have the theater counts out. You check out the theater counts before you send in your picks, because I have a feeling they could be meaningful, especially in relation to The Descendants and possibly The Sitter too. If The Sitter is only opening in like 2,200 screens, I'm screwed. if it opens in 2,200 screens and The Descendants opens wide in 2,200 screens, it was nice knowing you guys. Because I am just off the list.
At least you didn't put it at number one. That would really cost you.
Yeah, double. That would be bad. All right. I got nothing else. I'm getting kind of sleepy.
Yeah. I technically have to go to class tomorrow. I don't know why, other than, like, to be there.
Oh, that's disappointing. BD says the numbers website is estimating the sitter at 2,500 screens.
I thought you looked that up earlier.
I tried. I couldn't find it. My computer's very slow. If somebody wants to send me a good one, I will accept it. I'll sign for it, UPS. I commit that I will sign for it.
I will be here
to accept the package if somebody wants to send it to me. All right, sir. Have a wonderful last week of school.
I will.
Like, last week forever.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
By the time this drops, my last week will have been completed. And
you'll be in finals week, right?
Finals are next week, so.
Yeah.
So I got an A on my other capstone presentation, so that's a bonus.
Booyah. bringing the podcast experience to the forefront.
I did, because, like.
I saw that tweet.
I was watching the people that, because I went first, and I was watching the people that went after me, and, like, everybody had notes, and one person was just reading off of a piece of paper. And I was like, I got up there, I just riffed for 15 minutes. I never could have done this before. It's entirely podcasting, I think, that allowed that. So,
yeah, I was always kind of able to do that in school. In high school, I remember we had to do a presentation about something, and I went up there with like 3 note cards. And the teacher was a history teacher, and he looked at me like, you realize you have to give a 5-minute long presentation. It's fine. The person after me, swear to God, came up with like 50 note cards. It's like, wow. And come to find out, I ended up talking for like 4.5 minutes and got an A. And the person after me ended up talking for like 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, will this ever end? She's just reading her note cards. Please make it stop.
We've had some people that, like, and the thing that gets me is I had some hardcore information to present. Like, I went in because we were supposed to observe a workplace and, like, analyze our observations and, you know, use a theoretical perspective. And I actually did that, whereas when other people started on their presentations, it became clear that they just, like, wrote down everything they saw and then told us everything they saw.
Oh.
And it was like, there was no analysis or anything. So I got up there and I was like, you know, here's how this relates to this. And this is what the theory says about this. And, like, I had a hell of a time fitting all that inside 15 minutes. There were people that just read off everything. And, like, one girl, because the professor was very clear, like, you have 15 minutes and I'm going to stop you at 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so she gets to her 15 minutes and the professor tries to stop her and says, you need to wrap up now. And she just goes to her next slide. And, like, keeps talking. And just like, no, you have to stop now. Wow. She had, like, 6 more slides. Like, how did you ever think that was going to... When you have 20 slides and 15 minutes, you're committing to spend less than a minute on each of your slides.
Yeah.
And you spent, like, 3 or 4 on each of them. What were you thinking? I know we're all English majors, but even that kind of math should come easily to us. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been painful, but that's like all I have in the morning is more presentations, and I've already given mine, and so it's like I don't give a shit anymore.
So words with friends tomorrow morning then.
Tiny Tower.
I don't know what that is.
It's like Sim Tower meets Farmville.
Oh boy.
It's actually kind of interesting because it's a casual Facebook type game where you just like, you know, everything takes time and sure. There's no actual point in it. Except it's like the perfect like subversion of that genre. Like all the stuff that like the things that you would spend money to get these like bucks that let you hurry production and buy money and that kind of thing. Except that it not too long into the game, you come to a point where like everything you do gives you a bonus buck. And so you never need to buy them ever again. Hmm. It's like, I don't know if they did it on purpose or accidentally, but they made it such that there's no reason to give them money. I think that's cool. I'm gonna pretend anyway that they, you know, that they did that intentionally and that makes them awesome, as opposed to they just really wanted to create a game like they really wanted to be Zynga and just failed.
I might be downloading it right now for Android.
Yeah.
Considering my recent Plants vs. Zombies fetish is kind of winding down now that I have gotten all the achievements.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll be honest, there's not a lot to do with this. You stock floors and crap, but I don't know. The art style is kind of an 8-bit art style, and then there's always the, oh, what kind of floor am I going to get next? Because you get to pick from like five or six different types of floors, like retail or entertainment, but you can't pick the actual specific thing. And there are 25, 30, 40 kinds of floors for each type. So it's always like, how do I do that? And really, you're just a slumlord because you get well, you get people, and the people all have dream jobs. And if you match up a person to their dream job, then, like, say somebody wants to work at a diner. Like, their dream job is to work at a diner, which my thought is you really need a better dream than that. But whatever. So you work at a you manage to get lucky and build a diner, and then you put them in their dream job. Then you get bonus bucks. And that's great. And it doesn't happen very often early on. Like, you just need people so that you can stock things. But then later on, like, I have 90 various store levels plus 60 residential levels. So I have so many floors that it takes me, like, I can just cycle through people and get $100 just by popping people in their thing. So it's like, I need a new person. Here's a person. Oh, look, they have a dream job that I want. There, you're in my dream job, but you don't have better stats than the people that are currently in that job, so get the fuck out of my building.
Nice. Very nice.
I move you in. I place you in your dream job. Motherfucker, that's your dream job. You want to work that. That is where you want to get the hell out of my building. You only give me a 6? Fuck that. I got a guy with a 9 in there.
I think on that point, good night. All right.
See ya.
See ya.
That's a good, you know, marker, considering I haven't done that at all.
You laugh all the damn time. There's time where there's silence, and it's just like, I can't cut the silence because Jonathan's laughing. There's no reason for you to laugh. You're just laughing. It's like you have nervous laughter when there's dead air. You're like the anti-dead air laughter.
I find the dead air funny. I can imagine the response. I imagine the response that either like you or Andrew is having, like the facial responses, and then I imagine the response of the listener as they, because I mean they're not actually hearing the dead air, but
yeah,
that makes it funny for me.
So. I've actually been leaving like purposefully leaving in some large chunks of dead air recently, mm-hmm. because they're funnier that way, because we'll make a comment and then there will be nothing, and then somebody will go, yeah. And then we'll
it's
go
an
on
effective tool.
Now I've actually had to cut some of the silence out because it's like, yeah, it'll go too long. It's like this is awkwardly long. There's a point where a little bit of silence is funny. A lot of silence is like, did somebody say something to hurt somebody's feelings? Did somebody break the morality clause?
It's just, I entirely understand, and I would do the same thing. But I always admire people. Like, I don't always find Family Guy funny, but I always admire when they're successful at, like, taking a joke that's awkward, and it's funny because it's awkward, and then they continue it. And then it's just awkward because it's goddamn awkward. And it's not even really funny anymore. But they keep going. And then it's funny again because they've just kept going at it. That takes a certain amount of balls, you know?
Yep.